Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And you wanted to say something. I don't want to cut you off, man.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say, hey, Dan Digman, what you doing tomorrow?
Oh my God, Jennifer Digman. I with you, we are taking off and driving to Iowa from Michigan. And you can hear the thunder rumbling. I don't know if that's romantic or is that IRL in real life kind of thing, that it's just like because we need to get this done because we're leaving.
We are leaving tomorrow, and I guess we're taking a road trip, which we like to do, but when it's, you know, 24 hours from where you are going to be, I'm not sure that we're the biggest fans, because it's the reality that we're going to have to sit in the car and drive. And I don't know if any of you out there listening have noticed a slight increase in traffic since the pandemic is on its way out.
Yeah, we're things have opened up. I mean, we are at a level of being opened up. I mean, is this the second time we've been back to Iowa for the fourth?
We did not go back to the fourth for the fourth last year.
I lost count.
No, because we had a wedding in the family, so we pushed it to October. So yes. But we're traveling, and we think it will be very exciting and exhausting, but I'd like to share some tips with you all about traveling. And we've had multiple sclerosis long enough, and a number of times we've driven back to your family in Iowa, we've lost count. So I think this would be a good opportunity to talk about our traveling experiences and any tips we have.
I was going to say, traveling and tips for, these are tips that anybody can use, whether or not they have MS. But I mean, certainly we are leaning heavy on people who are living with multiple sclerosis and on how we can make travel more efficient, more manageable. And I think that's one of the biggest things. And we just got done cleaning up the dinner dishes. And that's like the big thing, because with multiple sclerosis, there's issues with bladders, you know, and frequency and urgency and everything. When you're on a road trip for, you know, this particular trip to go to Iowa collectively, you're pushing 9-10 hours. And anytime we're on a big trip like that, for better or worse, and I'm sure there's dietitians that would rule against this, but we load up on sodium the night before and we order pizza and have, because the key is then you have pizza for dinner the night before, but then you can package up the leftovers, take them with you. And so your first night in the hotel, you have food ready to eat. Boom.
And that's a reality, Dan, you saying the first night in the hotel, because I'm a wheelchair user and your parents' house is not accessible for me to get into, i.e. there are still some steps. We do stay in a hotel, and it's not a big problem. You know, it keeps it easy and it makes it convenient because your parents live close to where we stay and they spend time with us. But it is something to think about, to get a hotel if you need it, or if you're fortunate that you can stay with family or friends, get accommodations that work for you. And speaking of that, you know, when we stay at a hotel, we look for a barrier-free hotel. Because I am a wheelchair user, and that's tall toilets, grab bars, barrier-free enough space. You know, hopefully there's not just some random table in the way. but it has space, room for my wheelchair to move. And we really, if we're being greedy, if you can say greedy, we like to get hotels that have roll-in showers so that I can roll in and use a shower, which is probably TMI for some people.
No, I mean, you need that shower. Yeah. I mean, and because you can't just climb into a tub.
No, that's kind of goes part and parcel with not being able to walk. You need that roll-in shower.
Well, and that's the key thing. And we've learned this lesson the hard way, that it's not enough when you, as in listener land, and you're booking a hotel because you if you're a wheelchair user or need accommodations, it's not enough to say, I need a handicap accessible room. The key is to say, I need an accessible barrier-free room, because that otherwise you do run into the potential of having a lot of footstools, tchotchkes, rugs, things that make it next to impossible to navigate the room.
So that's a good tip. And going along the lines of the restroom, and is just to make sure you have enough water. I know Dan talked about dehydrating ourselves before we take the road trip, but we make sure to drink up as soon as we can when we get to our location, get to our hotel, and we pack bottles of water just so that we can do that. And nothing is worse than getting to a hotel and not having plenty of water to drink, or not having change to pay for vending machines, even though this is 2023 and most vending machines use credit cards. But still, I'm old school and I want change for my vending machine. So you want to have, you know, water. We have snacks packed in the car so that we don't have those moments where if we're stuck in traffic or if we get waylaid, or, you know, make a wrong turn, we have a little something to keep our energy up. We have hydration.
Well, and that's a big thing, because with the hydration, and as you're talking, or we're talking about packing the extra pizza and everything, the key, one thing that's helpful is to throw 4, 5, 6 bottles of water into the freezer the night before, because then as you're packing your cooler, those bottles can serve as the quote-unquote ice to keep your pizza cold till you get there, and then the bottles will thaw out, and then you have cold water ready to drink.
And that's a good point. And we try, as Dan said, we try to have the leftover pizza, whether you stop at a roadside park or a rest area, or even if you can hold off until you get to your hotel. Because you will be tired from a long drive, even if it's, you know, a couple hours, it'll make your life a little bit easier just to have your pizza or your leftovers to eat for dinner. And along that line, make sure to pack napkins and plates, potentially, you know, some paper plates.
And that's what's nice when you go to your hotel and everything. A lot of the hotels have the continental breakfast in the morning. They have like a breakfast nook for where everything is. More often than not, they do have styrofoam plates that they use there. It's not out of line to go and ask them for a couple plates, but it's always easier if you can remember to pack the plates, just so when you're hungry, you can eat right away.
And when you're making the reservations, as Dan said, you know, make sure that you tell them exactly what you need. If you need, if you are still able to walk and stand in the shower, but maybe it would be nice if you had a little shower chair. The hotel can probably help you with that. And I giggled when I thought about making hotel reservations, because I'm using Dan and my credit card to make the hotel reservation. And I have a credit card offer to, if you use blah, blah, blah credit card, you've saved money on your reservation. Well, I have to call the credit card and say, you know that you say you save money when you make your reservation, but the reservations, you don't have any handicap accessible rooms.
So
we haven't been able to take advantage of that yet. But I'm going to call the credit card and darn straight they better say, oh, our bad. And they'll give us the deal.
Is that, let me ask you this, then. Now we're just going off the cuff
and we're
all over the place. I mean, really, because there's so much going on in our heads, making sure are we crossing this and everything. I think the one thing, you know, when you start looking for hotels and hotel rates and everything, you can go online and there's like TripAdvisor and Expedia or, you know, just all of these things that give you like rates on rooms. But I think it's a challenge with those kinds of services and things to give you good rates. Do they do handicap accessible rooms? Are those part of the package? Because we always have to call the actual company and talk to a person to the hotel to make sure, A, that they have an accessible room, B, what does the accessibility look like, and then to book it, and then continue to follow up and get confirmations over and over again. Because the number of times, just more often recently, where we show up, I go in to check into the hotel and we say, and I'm like, is this handicap accessible? And they're like, oh, we did not have that down that for this.
Which is
bunk. Can I say bunk?
I think so. You did.
But it is. It's the communication that's always there. So you can't just go online. At least we don't just go online and try to book things through the website, because you want to make sure and get that confirmation.
And we confirm and maybe even confirm one extra time. I know that it's very important to confirm and make sure that they do have you down for a handicap room, an accessible room, excuse me, not to say handicap, an accessible room. And then loyalty pays.
Yes.
When we go back to Iowa, we stay at the same hotel. And they know us and know our situation. And that helps. And, you know, even so that some staff at the hotel, they know us and they know what to expect or what we'll need help with. And it's another thing, just total flight of ideas, to pack vitamins, to pack your pills, pack spare like grocery bags, so you have little garbage bags so you can throw things away or in the car. I mean, just random little things like that. Pack a cooler bag and pack travel size. I find that travel size is really helpful. It's a little bit easier. My hands are weak, as I've talked about in the past, because of my MS. And so to have a smaller size, it makes me feel that much more independent, because I'm able to put on lotion or to use my products a little bit easier because they're smaller size and it's convenient. And if you do have the opportunity to fly, it's important to have that small size to get on that airplane.
And do you find then, as you know, we're talking about this, I mean, are there other tips or things? Because we talk about being outside, and I think we've talked in the past about like tips for staying cool in the heat and stuff. I mean, just is at this point where it's like, remember to take your like a cooling vest or things to keep you cool. I think that's when we go back to Iowa here for the 4th of July, we always go and we're there for the parade, 4th of July parade. And, you know, as standard, I mean, we're going back and they're already looking at the weather and predicting like 92 degrees at parade time. And even though we're sitting in the shade, it's just like, maybe we should get a cooling vest. Would a cooling vest help us as we're sitting out waiting for the parade to come by? mean, it certainly can't hurt, but it's like more often than not, we're there to kind of catch the beginning of the parade, and then we go into my godmother's condo and watch from the community room, just watch the parade from there just because it's cool. And I think that's the thing.
It's air conditioned.
Yeah. Did I say that? No.
It's, you said cool, and yeah. I just was filling in the blank.
Okay, so then I'm just like, did I say it? It's heated. But yeah, it's just like, you know, that's just where you need to be flexible when you're traveling. Make sure that your van is serviced and that the air conditioner is charged if you're road tripping.
If you're road tripping, nothing is worse than when your air, you realize you didn't get it recharged just to get that cool. But it's important to, as you said, like we sit outside and we watch the 4th of July parade, to be hydrated, to dress properly, to wear cool clothes and not too heavy. I always like to get my hair done before we travel. I like to go and get it styled so that we don't have to fuss with it too much. But because we're going to 4th of July and it's going to be incredibly hot, I'm not getting it done fancy schmancy. I'm just going to have it everyday Jennifer do. And that way Dan can put it up in a ponytail holder, because never underestimate the cooling power of a ponytail when you have long hair. So that, and sunglasses, if you wear them, don't forget them, because then you will come home from your trip with a bunch of squinty-eyed photos. that's a little personal thing. I want to make sure to get my sunglasses and comfortable shoes and comfortable clothes, and pack spare clothes, because you never know how the temperature will change. And if you will have any sort of mess made on your clothes, whether it be when you're outside eating or if you're having fun, or, you know, you have MS and you have any sort of accident, just to have spare clothes. And if you're taking a road trip, just pack them, pack like a little bag with spare supplies in it, spare clothing. And, you know, that's good to have, just so that you aren't trapped without something. And never underestimate, if you're traveling in the United States, Dan and I often say, thank heavens we're traveling here, because we can run to a grocery store or run to some store and just grab if we need something. You know, if we forget a belt, or we need Band-Aids.
Done that.
Yeah, exactly. Or you run out of lotion or shaving cream. Grocery stores, Walmart, Rite Aid, you know, something, Meijer, something close that you can just grab.
And something we've learned, and I mean, this is, maybe it comes with traveling often and long enough, or maybe just plain we're getting older. Build in the time and give yourself the time. And I think that's, you know, we just went down to Indiana for a wedding, and we broke up the drive down there into 2 days, you know, get a couple hours out of the way and then stay in a hotel and then finish the trip. And that's exactly what we're doing. Going back to Iowa, it's just because really, you know, a 9-hour trip straight with two people with MS, it's a lot. And that we've bucked up, that it's just like, okay, I'll work, leave an hour early, and take off, get a couple 3 hours in for one night. And then the next day, you only have 5 hours. And then that way, we're able to sleep in and get the rest. And I think that's the big thing, is just make sure you're well rested before you make the trip.
And if it matters to you, if it's important to you, give yourself the time to, you know, as Dan said, we're taking potentially a 9-hour drive. Make sure that we have 11 hours to make a 9-hour drive, because you don't want to be under the gun. Because when Dan or I, either one of us, are stressed or pressured or feeling rushed, that seems to make our MS seem a little bit worse. My hands are a little more numb, or Dan, you know, is walking, his gait will be a little, you know, if he's walking, trying to walk really fast, just give yourself that time so you don't feel that rushed, that pressure. And, you know, for us, we're going back to see your family for 4th of July. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to be fun. So give yourself plenty of time. You know, we have to remember that.
Well, and just pause and enjoy it. I mean, it's just like, and I think that's kind of helped me over the years. It's like, you don't have to, you're not out to set a world record, and my family's not expecting us any time. It's like that attitude of, you know, we'll be there when we get there. I mean, truly, we'll be there when we get there. And then it's just like, so if we need to take a little extra time, because that's a big thing too, as you're living with multiple sclerosis, that's a big old bolt of thunder. But as you're living with MS, take your time, you know, and that's what I've learned, is just to stop and get out and walk around and stretch just for that minute, you know, 2 minutes, just to wake yourself up. And again, as we're talking about this, we're looking at it through the lens of people living with multiple sclerosis, but these are things that go across the board, really, for anybody, just in terms of tips and things, just to make the travel enjoyable. I think the one thing that we've learned too is rest areas, and look for, we always think the public restrooms or rest areas, because if they don't have family restrooms, you can always get a tenant to, but they can close one of the sides of the, like, there's usually two women's bathrooms, they can close one side, quote unquote, for cleaning, so that you and I have a restroom where I can help you, and it's a little more private. So I mean, so just because places don't have family restrooms, public restroom or rest areas, can make some, I think there's some ways to work around that.
And those accommodations are invaluable, especially because I have a male husband, and so we need to go into the women's bathroom, and just when they can close that side down so that you can help me, that's an accommodation. And as you were talking about, you know, multiple sclerosis, we aren't the only people who need to make accommodations or make reasonable just choices. And I was thinking about back when we used to start going back to Iowa to see your family, we would do it in the winter, do it more at Easter time. And we stopped traveling because of snow. And then we started going in the summer, and we would do summer, and we would all make something and bring something. And now the last few years, we've just decided pizza is fine.
Yep.
Nobody has to go to the extra effort to make things. Of course, my sister-in-laws, they're fantastic cooks and they make things, and that's very much appreciated. But if they didn't and we just ordered pizza, it's about the time with your family. It's not about the food. And so if we pick up a bag of chips, or if we go and get a pre-made pasta salad to complement the pizza.
What do you mean if? That's what we're doing this time, dude.
Then that's perfect. And never underestimate ice cream sandwiches or just something simple like that, so that we can spend time with each other. That's the important thing. And just pack away, you know, get the most out of your family time. Roll your clothes. We have new suitcases that are roller four wheels, that makes it much easier. And I'm just trying to think, as we start to get, you know, we've waited until this long to get packed, and now I'm going through it, but just give yourself time and start preparation and think about what you're going to take with you. That will make it easier to make that trip.
What scares you about traveling? What you know, looking for, I mean, because here we are, it's 9 o'clock and we're taking off, you know, in less than 24 hours for a, you know, 5-day trip. what makes you the most anxious about traveling? Driving through the rain and the snow,
driving through the rain, driving that control that as a person who doesn't drive anymore.
Is that hard for you? I mean, obviously it is, but
it's hard for me. And conversely, is it hard for you because I don't drive and I'm like, I'm one of those people, but I try not to be. But it is, you and I, we're both kind of controlling, and to give up that control. I haven't driven, and I know I've talked about this before, but I haven't driven in over 20 years. And so it never gets easier to give up that control or that feeling of you're contributing, because I know it's tiring. I remember driving. That's a lot of work. And my husband has multiple sclerosis. And this whole responsibility falls on you. Falls on the whole time. You no have pressure. To. Exactly. So Turnabout's Fair Play, what scares you about this trip?
I think it's... I don't know. I don't know as though I don't get scared, I guess, if that makes sense. If we're traveling fast and we don't know where we're going, that makes me anxious, or because I think, and this is where a lot happens with the being together for so long and relying on the caregiving aspect. And that's where I know that you get nervous. And so for me, you know, you talked about like saying you get all, you know, nervous and stuff. And it's just like, but you know, and you say you're getting better, and it's like, and you are, you know, but for me, and you always comment that I'm very, for being so laid back, I'm very aggressive as I'm driving, but it's just like, but you know, you're trying to control yourself with the gasps and being anxious and stuff. But by the same token, then I've tried, and I don't know if you've noticed, but I really try to be more laid back, because just like, we're not in a hurry, and whether I'm driving, you know, at 75 miles an hour and I'm driving 78 rather than 82. Or whatever. Well, I mean,
we'll get there when we get there.
We'll get there when we get there. I mean, it's just like, just settle down and just enjoy it. I mean, it's just like, and do you wonder if, as we talked about, like post-COVID and pandemic and everything, for me, it's just like, I'm just taking it a little lighter, because what a blessing that we are at a point where we once again can travel and do this. Thinking back to the 2 years where we did not go back to Iowa, did not travel. And so then it's just like, it's just embracing and maybe relishing things, or yeah, just, I guess it's just the appreciation for the moment.
I think that's very true, and it's going to be very fun, and it will be family, and that is something, you are right. You know, those 2 years of COVID when we weren't able to see our family, and the reality that none of us are getting any younger. So we need to do this while we can and just cherish the moment and spend time with our family and our friends. And it will go quickly, but let's make the most of it.
Amen. And so... with that, we've just gone through just really tips and just conversations about taking on traveling with multiple sclerosis. And we will have some links to some articles and tips to help you navigate your next trip and journey while living with multiple sclerosis.
And if there are any tips, if you have some great something that we didn't mention in all of our quick discussion, please let us know. Reach out. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Or if you have any questions about how we navigate the wheelchair with travel or how Dan does it as my caregiver, please let us know. Reach out.
Send an email to acoupletakesonms@gmail.com and we'll have information about that also in the liner notes, just so we can hear from you. And because we're giving you our perspectives and experiences from, you know, 20 some years living with multiple sclerosis, but we haven't seen it all. We haven't experienced it all. So we really want to hear, because you probably have tips that will help us for the next time we go back to Iowa or any other road trip we make.
So thank you very much for coming and listening to us today. I don't think you really came anywhere, but for listening. Yeah,
for joining us.
Joining us. Thank you. See, I am not the... Yeah. So thank you for joining us today. Dan is having a wicked coughing fit, so I'm just going to sign off and say thank you for joining us today. I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling. And he is...
I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
But together, we're moving forward. Thank you very much for joining us. Take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes. You can email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, coupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.